Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm also joined by Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, we were talking in the at the end of the last segment, well, really throughout the first hour, talking about the importance of the gospel, and that is what you do, your day job, as it were, when you're not serving in excellent fashion here on Today's Issues. As a co-host, you preach the gospel around the country. Tell our listeners a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries, your website, what people can find there, and if they want to have you come preach or teach at a conference or at a church, how do they get in touch with you?
You know, we believe what Christians have believed for 2,000 years, that the gospel is not just a message, but it's good news. It's good news for the whole world. I mean, this goes right along in with what we've been talking about, that Christians believe there is good news from heaven, that lives can be changed. And so if you come see us on the internet at keepbelieving.com, you're going to find an online library of biblical resources to help you grow in your faith, stay strong, and give you a message of hope you can share with other people. So come on over, surf on over to keepbelieving.com. Anything you find that you like, use it, it's yours. We're all in this together. We've got to get the good news out to the world while we still have the opportunity.
All right, thank you, Ray. Well, we want to welcome, as we typically do, for our third segment on Today's Issue, Steve Jordahl, who's a reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Good morning / good afternoon to you, Steve. We have some listeners in the Eastern
time zone. That's right, we do. Good morning and good afternoon to everybody.
Okay. Well, listen, we're not going to spend the whole show on the shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, but you do have some updates, and then we'll move on to some other stories.
Yeah, they had a press conference from Dayton. This is the second shooting where 9, I believe, were killed. This is the shooter who was the one that was intent on killing, not as ideologically based and everything, but just a little bit of the statistics that came out here about how much ammunition was used and how much they had, and then an update on the number of people that were injured. So let's play that cut 13.
Can confirm that if all the magazines that we recovered from the suspect were completely full, including the loose rounds found on the ground near him, as well as in a backpack that he carried, he would have had a maximum of 250 rounds in his possession at the time. We can confirm at least 41 spent shell casings from his weapon. As it relates to the officers, we have recovered 45 caliber shell casings, 16.233 caliber shell casings, and one shotgun shell casing. In terms of the persons injured, we have previously said 27. There's some information is 32. I can confirm to you that there is at least 14 of those injured, whether that number is 27 or 32, at least that were injured through gunshot wounds.
And the rest, they said that there was a lot of wounds from running, breaking glass, so cuts when you're running and trying to hide. Some people were trampled and had broken bones and that kind of stuff that weren't related to the, they weren't directly from gunfire, but were as a cause of this. So tragic things that happened, and my condolences and prayers do go out to the communities of both El Paso and
Dayton. That's a lot of rounds. Yeah. That's a lot of bullets flying around. And all right. Well, we've covered that. We'll probably talk some more this week as more information comes out. I'm sure law enforcement in both El Paso and Dayton will be doing some digging to find out in terms of motivation, ideology, that kind of thing, why these terrible tragedies occurred. And when those do, we will cover them, but also they can listen to American Family News and then read at One News Now, onenewsnow.com, and keep up to date on the latest is happening out of El Paso.
We will be on top of it.
Okay. What else we got?
Hey, I wanted to ask Ray this question. Ray, you might have seen over the weekend Republican Congressman Kenny Marchant is the fourth Texas congressman to retire in the last few weeks. and say he's not going to run again after 2020.
And these were close districts, right?
This one was. He won his seat with just 50.6% of the votes. So according to the Dallas News, the morning news, it says that his exit makes it likely harder for Republicans to regain control of the House next year. I'm wondering if all these exoduses are making it in question whether the Republicans are going to retain Texas.
Wow, Steve. You know, for how many years Texas was not just red, but deep red,
yeah,
right? I mean, it was as safe a state as Republicans had. Now, is Texas, well, so here's the question back to you. Does this mean that Texas now is going to turn purple? So a little bit of a toss-up state next year. If the Republicans don't hold Texas, it's hard to see any way they hold the White House next year. But things are changing. There's been a whole lot of immigration, if you will. That's not quite the right term, but in-migration, I guess,
right,
from states like Oregon, Washington, and a whole bunch from California, and they bring their own ideological preferences with them. So maybe Texas has moved from being strongly conservative to being mildly conservative.
Could be.
That would be, there'd be something, wouldn't it, if Texas became a battleground state next year?
That would, it would be new in politics. And again, you know, with
yeah,
Florida has gone the Republicans' way for White House races for the last few, but it's been close.
Very
and
close.
And then last, you know, and this President Trump, he took Pennsylvania, he took Ohio, and those Ohio and Florida have always been the swing states.
Right.
But I don't see, I mean, you can't overcome the loss of Texas. You just
right,
can't. There's just
right,
too many electoral votes.
What is that? Is that 54? Well, anyway, it's a lot, and
it's a bunch.
You're looking that up. Yeah, that has been as important for the GOP as California and New York and Illinois have been for
I mean, Ed, if you lose Texas, if you're the Republican, you lose Texas, what are you going to do? Pick up Illinois? That's not going to happen. So, I mean, even if I'm thinking out loud, even if somehow the president holds Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and those are big ifs, you lose Texas, I don't see another place on the map where you can pick up enough to compensate for
you
that.
Can't.
That's 38 electoral votes.
I think 54 may be California.
55 is California.
55.
Okay. And it depends on the census. I don't know how quickly they put those things in, but the census will change some of those numbers too.
I think that'll change 2020.
Yeah,
because there's the census. I don't know, but it is a good point is how quickly they can calculate that. Maybe it'll be the 2020, 21 or 22. So anyway, all right. So that is Ray pointed out that is in migration. I like that. It's not if that's a new word, we'll let Ray coin that.
There you go.
But that is it's always odd.
It's happening.
Me. Yes, it is
happening.
I've made this point on the show many, many times. I grew up in New Hampshire. We even back then I wasn't a Christian, but I was conservative. New Hampshire was solidly what we would call red state, mm-hmm, conservative state, and we called Massachusetts, Taxachusetts, and then people started moving to New Hampshire because they had no income tax
right,
from Massachusetts, and it has turned the state at least purple.
I know.
So that could be happening to Texas. That would be a shocking political development. So.
Yeah.
Steve, let me come back and ask you about these different. These congressmen saying they're not going to stand for re-election, is there any commonality in what they're saying, or is it just, hey, this one, and this one, we're just not going to run again?
They're saying they want to spend more time with their families. That's the thing you hear every time someone
sure,
leaves. I haven't heard one of them say they're frustrated with the president. I don't know that it's like, who's the Arizona guy that...
Jeff Flake?
Jeff Flake.
Yeah.
That just
didn't like,
sick of it and left.
Right.
Well, and you know, sometimes for members of Congress, if it looks like it's going to be too close. Now, I'm not familiar with these individuals. So I don't know. Maybe they've been in Congress for 30 years.
One of them has, actually.
So maybe they're just tired of it. But if you get into a situation where it's going to be so close, you've got to raise a lot of money. and spend a lot of money. Sometimes they don't want to go through that kind of rather tortured process. And so we'll have to wait and see. You know, Ted Cruz had a tough race, remember, in 2018. Was it against Beto O'Rourke? I think that was the race for Senate.
It was. It's the one.
So that was kind of a little bit of a surprise. So it looks to me like Texas is moving to away from solidly conservative, as Ray pointed to, mildly conservative. I'm not sure it's a purple state yet, but it's trending in that direction.
I'm trying to look up the and I probably won't be able to get it before we move on, but I wanted to look up the how many Democrats as opposed to Republicans there are in from Texas.
Okay.
So
well,
but there's a lot of them. But
yeah.
It doesn't look like. Well, I'll count it up. But
all right. What else we got?
Hey, I want to talk. You remember a couple years ago, Rand Paul had a run-in with his neighbor?
Yes.
Remember? And they,
when
they
he was mowing the grass or something, he got ambushed.
He did, and he got beat up pretty good, broke some ribs. He just put out some information, a tweet. He says he's going to be, unfortunately, I will have to limit my August activities. Part of my lung, damaged by the 2017 assault, had to be removed by surgery this weekend.
Mm. So yeah. Now this was a guy who was ordered, I think, to pay for medical costs and everything. His neighbor who attacked him, Rand Paul, but they're at recess, right? Congress's August recess.
They're trying. Some are trying to call them back to deal with the gun control thing now that these shootings happened. But they are on recess right now.
Okay, so that's what he's talking about in terms of his August activities. Probably, you know,
fewer town halls,
that kind of thing. So.
But man, and then our good friend Senator Mitch McConnell broke his shoulder, falling at his Kentucky home.
Both Kentucky senators are down for the moment. Wow,
yes, that's true. Both of them.
And
how old is Mitch McConnell?
77.
See, yeah, 77.
He's up there.
That's not easy to come back from at any age. But as Ray knows, I mean.
As I do know. Absolutely.
So,
you know, the thing about Rand Paul is that whole thing was strange, right? When it happened, we had a hard time understanding it. And we never, at least to my knowledge, got a clear explanation of what happened or what the injuries are. But it must have been much worse than we were told in the beginning if 2 years later, you're having to have, what do you say, surgery to remove
a damaged
part of his lung?
Wow. Yeah. I do remember that he had several ribs broken. This guy attacked him. This guy claimed it had nothing to do with politics, that it was, you know, neighbor by next to neighbor kind of thing, but who knows?
Yeah.
What that's.
Yeah.
I've never had problems with my neighbors, but I'd like to think that if his leaves were blowing in my yard, I wouldn't attack him. Ambush him while because he had headphones on.
Yeah, couldn't see him coming.
Yeah, couldn't see him coming.
Yeah, that's what we hear. But
all right, so for Kentucky, both senators have some health issues.
I'm wondering what it is about. So Mitch McConnell's the Senate Majority Leader. Remember the last Senate Majority Leader that the Democrats had? It was Harry Reid from Nevada.
Oh yes,
no, that's right.
And you remember? Him showing up with an eye patch and a black eye and everything?
Sure. Right.
There's something about that position of the Senate Majority Leader that is just not safe.
Well, then I guess I'm going to avoid running for it.
Well, shoot, I was going to vote for you, too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks. I don't believe you for a second.
Well, I didn't believe you.
I'm not running. Yes, that's right. So we're even. All right, what else we got?
All right. Hey, President Trump is trying to get ahead of the field. The Democrats, there are rumors that he is going to roll out his own health plan
in
September.
This?
The president, Trump.
Oh, okay.
Donald Trump, Donald John Trump, who is president of the United States.
Yes, got it.
Got it, okay.
Right.
And it says what he's could be including are coverage. This is the rumor mill, the Washington rumor mill, or sources unidentified, but close to the president, according to Fox Business. The plan could include health coverage for people with pre-existing conditions, the sale of insurance across state lines, which would be big, offering more insurance options for consumers, expanding health savings accounts, linking price transparency to quality metrics, and giving states more flexibility. So it's going to be interesting. I've heard the last couple of days, the Democrats are railing, saying the president, Republicans, want to take away your health care.
Right.
You know, try and push their single-payer plan. But now the president is going to put his plan out.
Well, Ray, I got to say this, okay? Now, for people who think that we are just partisan
right.
hacks on today's issues, I will say
right.
this. Ever since George Bush, Bush 43, was elected, I have actually been blaming Republicans for having 6 years under George Bush with both houses of Congress who did nothing for the health care problems in this country. So in my opinion, both parties have had, you know, can be blamed for different reasons. I'm just kind of pleasantly surprised that a Republican has a plan. And this is President Trump. So I'd like to listen to see what he has to say.
Well, he wants to keep the whole idea of pre-existing conditions, which changes the whole insurance scenario. But guys, I think, isn't it true that surveys show that Americans like that idea of saying you can't lose it because of, or can't be denied because of pre-existing conditions? I think that's one of the most popular parts of
right.
Obamacare that brought in that. So I think the president feels like he's got to keep that. And frankly, I think it's a good idea.
Let me tell you something that I always thought should at least be checked into. Now, I am not an economist, so and some people who are pure free market individuals would probably think that this is a socialist idea. I have no idea. I always thought that what might help people is to have some sort of a cap on major medical catastrophes, and then the government picks up the additional costs, you know, so that you are not, so people aren't bankrupted by heart surgery or ongoing cancer treatment, and insurance pays up to a certain amount, and then the rest of us kind of share the burden of those kinds of catastrophic medical costs. I think that might go a long way towards keeping costs down, that kind of thing. I have no idea whether that's feasible or whether that would bankrupt the country or the government, but it might be one approach. Who knows? Is that?
I've got a convention we're going to talk about in a little bit that we could send you to.
Okay. I think I know where that's going. All right. So anyway, that's in September. The president is going to unveil. I'm just happy to hear that Republicans have a plan other than we don't like Obamacare.
Right.
All right. Let's go.
Well, let's talk about where I want to send our friend Ed. They had a convention of the Democrat Socialists. These are the people that have come off of the college campus, and they now are, you know, leaders and adults, but they're still acting like children.
All right, now let me just make sure. This is a convention of Democratic Socialists.
Right.
Is this like the convention?
It was their national convention.
All right.
Yeah, and these are the sold out true blue, true believer socialists, right?
True deep blue or pink, I think.
Deep pink. Deep pink. Deep pinkos.
So I wanted to play this. Let's listen to this. This is, they got into, someone was upset a little bit. Cut one.
Right. Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload.
Thank you, comrade. Okay, is there a speaker against name,
point
chapter,
of personal
pronoun?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Quick point of privilege once again. Quick point of privilege once again. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload, and that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety. Like, the be comradely isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered.
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, my name's Steve Jordahl, the thou.
The thou.
I'd like
yeah, he was saying he, him.
He
slash
him.
Yes.
Your
Majesty would be fine.
And was that when he said he, him, was that? Or when he,
those
or
are
was
his
it, when
pronouns.
He said, when he said guys, it
yes.
was that.
Oh, that's, yes.
Guys, you can't, and that just, that triggered
now you,
somebody.
You had to cut some of that out, that first guy, because he was saying, I'm one of those who tends to, a sensory overload.
Yeah.
And so any chatter, people talking amongst themselves, he says, that just triggers me.
Oh, please.
And so, listen, I'm ambivalent about what we just played because I have been laboring under the assumption that socialists pose a real problem to this country.
Right.
But if that is any indication, I'm not so worried.
They can't legislate themselves out of a paper bag.
They can't even have a convention.
That's right. They can't even have a convention.
And agree because they're correcting each other.
Yeah.
Point of personal privilege.
Yeah.
I like that. Comrade.
Yes, comrades. Comrade. Yes, comrades. And I did see the young lady, if I am allowed to call her a lady. She looked like a young lady.
She was
running the floor. She was in charge. And I don't know, but I would hate to have been in her high heels, you know, her shoes, having to attend to the childlike behavior of the Democratic Socialists. So I'm not sure whether to be worried anymore.
I'm going to take my hammer and sickle and go home.
The comrades were having a few problems.
They were. And again, but I like the port, you know, giving pronouns. So from now on, guys, thee thou for me.
Thee thou. Got
thee thou. Yes.
Wow. All right. Do you have anything else to close the show?
Let's talk about this. There's a French inventor by the name of Frankie Zapata. And
that's French?
Well, yes.
Frankie.
Frankie. Okay. Frankie Zapata.
Frankie.
Well played, Ray. Frank.
And he has invented a hoverboard. And
nice.
And
wait. Hoverboard, you mean like Back to the Future?
Kind of like Back to the Future.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
It goes a lot higher and faster.
Good.
And so he decided that he wanted to cross the English Channel. He tried once last week or so, and he couldn't make it, but he made it. 22 miles.
So what is a hoverboard? Go ahead and explain to our listeners who do not follow science fiction.
It looks about the same size as a maybe one of those circular footstools that you see if you can pick, and it's got two shoes that are attached. You lace in,
and like then, if you're going water skiing, right?
But they're tennis shoes. They actually lace up, right? And you have these big strong blowers that blow you up off of the ground and put you in there. Now he probably weighs 120 pounds. I would probably not be able to get up in the air on that thing, but that's a different discussion for a different day. he got on this thing and hovered his way across the English Channel.
22 what, miles?
Whoa. He hovered all the way across the English Channel?
Yes. I think last time he had to stop over a boat that was there for him so that he could change batteries, but he did that in flight. He didn't land.
This a battery powered deal?
I think so.
Okay, that's good. Good for Frankie.
No. It was fuel, not batteries. He had to refuel.
Yeah. So what kind of, this has some sort of combustion engine kind of thing? Now, first of all, let me just say,
I want one. Where
I know,
can we
right?
get
no,
one, Steve?
You cannot have one, Ray.
I
think your wife would agree with us.
Well, that yes, she
after
would.
After you've slipped she on would. Ice on your bike, well, I don't think you need a hoverboard.
Well, then, so true.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today's edition of Today's Issues. Please continue to listen to American Family News, American Family Radio. And please visit onenewsnow.com for the latest, not only in the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, but also other things that are happening here and abroad. More great programming directly ahead here on American Family Radio. Bye for now.